Welcome to the Marketing for the Culture podcast, powered by the African American Marketing Association. Each week, we'll bring you an insightful conversation from some of the best experts in our industry on how to advance our career. Join the collective of Black marketers across the world, advancing their brand as we work towards creating a collaborative community.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It is another episode of Marketing for the Culture, here again with Michelle Gomez, brought to you by none other than the African American Marketing Association. And this week, we're going to talk about the TikTok earner list who had an absence of color on it. And then we're also going to talk on how you can build an audience and get it ready to sell. But before we get into that, Michelle, it's been a few weeks. You know, we dropped some fireworks, got Kawasaki. You know, shout out to that boy, Chris. I know you was kind of a afterthought. I ain't want you to feel like an afterthought, but bro, you had God opened up for you. But shout out to everybody that's been on the podcast last couple weeks. It's been so great to get some of the feedback from everyone. So, Michelle, how are you feeling on this side of 2022?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. Definitely Black, blessed, and highly favored.
Shout out.
There's a lot of good things happening personally, professionally. Especially with AMA, I think for a minute, probably this quarter, we're going to have nothing but announcements on top of announcements on top of announcements. So, you know, make sure you are following us along this journey and you stay tuned to the podcast. Yes. It's a lot of good things happening right now.
Absolutely. And speaking of announcements, do you want to go ahead and talk about the list? Right at the top of the show?
We can do that. There's so much, right? So first, major shout out to our sponsors, right? Sponsors that have supported us since 2020 up to today. I would say Onward Search. They are a creative staffing agency. So AMA does have a job board, but be sure you look them up as well. We have Dragonfly Editorial. They do editing, copywriting services, and we actually have an upcoming engagement with them in March regarding LinkedIn. So a lot of good things happening. I do want to say thank you to our sponsors. On Wednesday, February 2nd at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time via Zoom, we are going to have Michael Mislansky from Mislansky and Partners, one of the top creative marketing firms in the nation, speak to us about the language of trust, which is after the title of his book. This agency works with Hershey's, Starbucks, Bank of America, Nike. If your product, service, you name it, you're using it, right? Right. And we're going to talk about, you know, just branding and marketing strategies, the importance of language and messaging and marketing. So please come out and support us. We're going to have these links in the show notes, but it's a free event. It's on Eventbrite. It's on our social media. And I really want us to show up and show out for this because this is really a big deal.
Absolutely.
Like, this man charges tens of thousands of dollars to speak, and they reached out to us like, hey, you know, I would love to do something with y'all, and this is it. So all of that,
major.
Yeah, really major. So I'm going to start promoting that heavy on social media this week. So the Black Marketers List. Yeah. So last year, April, we released the top 50 Black marketers list. We had our leadership, which were 10 people that I admired that, you know, kind of, you know, my way of showing love, putting them on. And then everyone else, the other 40 people, they were nominated. So we're going to run it back. So we're looking for the best of the best marketers when it comes to leadership. So whether you're an agency owner, entrepreneurial consultant journey, we also have brand and marketing strategists. Our third category is content, which consists of creators, curators, and copywriters. Our fourth category is designers, which includes animation, graphics, and web. And our last category is influencers and media innovators, which include social media, podcast, and YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you think you fit the bill, you can self-nominate. Tell your friends if you think, oh, that's not me, but my friend is a great designer, go ahead and nominate them. You know, you can do it yourself. You can fill out the form. You can send them the link. They can fill out the form. And it's a process. So it is a process. I do want to say this. We do require an Instagram link and a LinkedIn link, right? So you have to have one of those. If we cannot get in touch with you, or your profile is outdated, you will not make the cut. You will not go through the process. So please fill out the information. Please make sure you're accessible online, because we definitely want to acknowledge Black talent out there.
Yes. So just for a note, you know, you don't have to be flourishing on the gram, but just be active. You know, like, just be active. Just make me feel like you try it.
Yes. And I say that to say, because last year, and part of it was my fault. So as the leader, I'll take ownership. Part of it was my fault because it took us a long time to get through the selection process. And by the time we were finalizing the selection, some people didn't have a website. Some people didn't have an IG account. They're no longer doing that podcast. That YouTube is not an active channel. It's like, and I get it, but I'm just saying, to be fair, please be up to date and current with the content that you're creating on these channels, whether it's social media or if you're, you know, kind of nominate yourself as a podcaster or a YouTuber.
Right. Yeah. And that just kind of goes back into what we always talk about, which is everything is marketing to a certain extent. And if you're doing something that people you're trying to get attention for, then you probably could get nominated for this list. And, you know, who knows? You probably can make the list and you're going to be on this website. We're going to talk about you on the podcast. You know,
yeah,
you might not get to talk to Guy Kawasaki, but you're going to get to be on the same website as him, and you should feel great about that.
For sure. I mean, there's so much we can do with this list. And we have some surprises. I think like this first half of the year is going to be nothing but announcements and surprises. So please don't sell yourself short, because we want to acknowledge you.
I'm with that, man. Shout out to everybody out there grinding, putting in the time to make their clients happy, put food on the table, all them good things, man. Because as you know, the only reason we had to have the BET Awards is because MTV wasn't acting right, Grammys wasn't acting right. So, you know, we got to take care of our own.
We about to come out with some AMA Awards.
Absolutely.
The Black Marketers, you know, List.
All Black Tie Affair.
Listen, how much the tickets cost?
Hey, that's definitely going to be a gala. That's what that sounds like, a $1,500 plate.
I think we on to something. Hold on now. All right, 2025. Hold on.
I'm a gala. Yo, I'm with it, bro. Like, I've never been to one, but I would show up to the one that I'm hosting. I'm with
Hey,
it.
Okay, we got the host. That's half. Now we need a venue. Okay, that's half the battle right there.
Right. I'm looking at every spot that feels like y'all got the vibe. y'all come on with it. We right here, you know, write that out, 501c on deck. We get you straight.
Okay. I see the vision. I see it.
Already. So yes, thank you for that announcement, Michelle, informing the people. What's the best way for them to get started?
Yeah, I guess
getting nominated.
I guess you would know that, right?
I was just thinking about that. I was like, you know, it sounds great, but what do I do to get involved?
Yeah, so you can go to the bit.ly link. So it's bit.ly/AAMA list. So that's bit.ly/AAMA list. AMA list. And we're going to have this all on social media. We're going to have, when you hit that link, it's going to take you to the form. Link in bio is going to take you to the form. And you can just go from there.
Absolutely. So y'all just be on the lookout for that. You know, get your pitch together. And I don't know, man. You might have what it takes. You might be good enough to just come on the podcast. I'm going to be looking at as many as possible. And if you're interested enough, I might need to talk to you directly. So,
hey, we got to create content.
Hey,
and it's repurpose a machine. Content.
It's a machine. Yes, that is correct. I am the cog moving this machine. So please,
I like that idea, though. We can do a panel. Well, let's go. Don't get me started. But
yeah, I know we just came out of it. We just had like a meeting on the show. And when you're dealing with like two people that have a million ideas, that's kind of what ends up happening half the time. We try to keep this show on track, but you know, that it's definitely good. We'll put a pin in that and come back to it later. But I guess before we go any further, is there any other announcements, anything you want to let people know? And then we can get into a little bit of news and talk the talk.
Nah, I'm ready.
All right. So, the first story, and I guess, let me just say this. This podcast is probably going to be a little bit shorter than most other podcasts only because time constraints and life. And Michelle, you actually brought this article to my attention, and you were looking for me to bring it to your attention. But, of course, I have twins, so everything doesn't quite make it to my feed as it should. But it's about TikTokers, the top earning TikTokers. I don't know what, that's too many T's. That's a little, that was a little Peter Piper pick a pepper. But the top earning TikTokers in 2022 or 2021, the list came out. I hate how some of these headlines, yo, copy editors. Please, like, just read it two times before you hit publish. Like, I swear to God, I'm so sick of this. That is a whole nother rant for another show.
Like,
but get it back.
Like, go ahead.
I know, I'm trying not to start that. But yes, so the article that we're referencing comes from BET, but the source article is from Forbes. And basically, the top earners from TikTok from 2021 contain zero Black creators. Now, that's surprising to me. And we talk about TikTok on this show a lot because it's the place where Black people are flourishing. But kind of break down what you got out of this article, Michelle, because there's a few things that I want to touch on, but I had this come to my attention because of you. So I want you to go ahead and lead this one.
Yeah. You know, this article is disappointing. It's confirming. Mm. Like, it's just so many layers to this article. And, you know, goes back to why AMA was established, right? And I know we're talking about the creator economy more often because it's so important into marketing. But it's just, I think Kanye said it best. How, Sway? How? Like, I just don't understand. And the reason why, even I consume TikTok.
I don't, for the record.
I consume TikTok mainly because my friends are always sending me TikTok links or whatever. But one person I have liked, and I don't want to say I follow him on TikTok, but I just kind of follow his story and his success, is the Senegalese TikToker Gabi Lame, who does the hands, right? Doesn't say one word. All he does is he shows you how you can do something easier, and he puts his hands out. And he has 127 million followers. And I have seen him do some brand deals, but yet he's not on the list. And I think that is the surprising and disappointing thing, because it goes back into, you love our culture. You love our culture. You monetize our culture. Marketing for the culture. But then when it comes to the payout, when it comes to the money, there's a disconnect. And it's like, how and why?
So what's your assumption on where that disconnect starts?
I would say, to me, the biggest thing that stands out, and this is whether you're an entrepreneur, agency leader, or, you know, an influencer, I think a lot of us are getting paid our asking price. We're getting paid our rate. But our rate is so much lower compared to our white counterparts. And I think that's where the discrepancy is. So, for example, I'm going to use me. This might be a bad example, but I'm going to use me, right? So I consider myself a professional speaker. My rate is $5,000, right? So if someone comes up to me, Michelle will pay you $5,000. I'm like, okay, cool, bet. That's my rate. But, and I'm not even going to get into all of the negotiation tactics. I'm sure someone's like, well, you can negotiate. That's not what this is about, right? But then if you have a Gary V that comes and he's like, oh, my rate's $100,000. That's his rate. He gets paid what he asked for in his rate.
Right.
And I think that's where the problem is. I think we're making good enough money for ourselves, but we're not understanding that the same white influencer doing the same campaign, photo shoots, videos, whatever, they're probably charging $12,000 while we're charging $5,000. And if you times that, you know, 20 campaigns in a year, that's a big difference on revenue coming. So that's my assumption as far as what the problem may be.
You bring up an interesting point, and it makes me want to know more about the back end. Because according to the article, they did include not only TikTok earnings, but all of the brand deals to come up with the numbers. And I'm just curious to know, like, how many of these white TikTokers have the business infrastructure behind them? You know, the lawyers, the agents, the handlers, people that like make things happen, versus when you have us. You know, we kind of out the trunk with everything. You know, we get who we can, get who we know, and try to get them people to help us any way that possible. But we never really take that big step or take that investment or be willing to give up part of our earning potential in order to succeed, because that's usually what ends up happening. It's like, you need somebody to do some work. They either need money or they need equity. And I mean, I hate to say it, but that's just not something that we into a lot. It is not a thing that's been given down by the mentality. It's like, I really don't want to go where like I want to go with it, but I guess I want to say is we're probably going to have to be more trusting of people and just make sure we're getting contracts read, but also just be willing to set some money on fire.
Mm.
And I think, you know, and I'm gonna just say, just on personal experience, that we when you come from nothing, it's really hard to be like, I'm going to take $500 and something might not go right and there's nothing I can do about it. And I'm thinking of my homies. I'm like, I don't even know how could I even convince them to do something like that, because mm-hmm. we all the same way. It's like, what am I going? Is there any guarantee that this is going to work? But you're not going to know until you spend the money and then you learn the lesson. It's kind of like the thing I talk about on Fiverr. You know, you probably spend $100 and you might end up using two or three different artists. But by the second artist, you're going to have exactly what you need in order to get it exactly right.
Yeah.
But you had to plan on just setting that money on fire, because you know the first person might not get it right. And you got to be okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a growing pain. I think another thing that I've had to learn as an entrepreneur is lots of times we base our fee on what we need to survive and not on what we need to grow.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, that's a good quote right there.
So I'm going to go back to the 5,000 point. Like, I can charge 5,000. And for easy math, we'll just say, okay, if I'm charging 5,000, my bills, all of my bills, personal and business, will say is $3,000 a month, right? But I technically need to set aside, we'll just say 20% for taxes or whatever, right? So my profit's only $1,000, right? So then it's like, okay, am I saving? Probably not. I'm probably going to reinvest back into the business, right?
Right.
But even with that, there's very little I can do with $1,000, right?
This is true.
Just, you know, one job, not knowing when your next meal is, per se, your next client is. So I think it becomes really hard. But if I say, okay, my rate is $7,500, I have $3,000 in bills, $1,000 for tax. Now I have an extra $3,000-$4,000, and it's like, okay, what do I want to do? Now I can hire an assistant that I've been wanting for so long, right? Mm. Or now I can buy this new camera that, you know, and I think we right. have to kind of like, I need to charge X amount of rate because I'm trying to grow into this next thing.
It's the hustle culture. You know, we yeah. out here trying to get it. Like I said, we still moving out the trunk, and we're trying to just get everybody to come pull up, come fool with, hey bro, pull up, bro, come fool with me real quick. You know, that's the mentality that we really running out here with, which is nothing wrong with it, because that's what we got taught. That's what we got passed down. It's like, you be in the community, you make it affordable so people in the community can deal with you. And then when it's time to move into other spaces, you got to, you know, you go up on your price and mm-hmm. and you kind of figure out what's good for you. And like you said, you end up finding out later on, it's like, well, the person that came right before you got twice as much, but you ain't even know that you could ask for that much in the first place.
That part.
It hurts, man. It hurts. I've seen some of this myself, and I'm like, man, that's the game right now, man. I hate it for all my creators out there that's not getting exactly what they should. But if it wasn't on the TikTok video, it'd be on a music deal. You got to learn it one way or the other to get the contracts read.
It's everywhere.
It's just the new way to get over on people. Like, I can't even front. I see it all the time, and I try not to get upset about some of this stuff, but it is what it is. I can't.
Well, I want to say this because this kind of triggered me, and I didn't have a chance to say it in a previous podcast interview I did, but it's been on my mind a lot. And especially, shit, whether it's a brand deal or corporate America, but in this case, I'm thinking about corporate. If there's a lot of talk about pay equity, right? Mm. And you, once again, you think you're advocating for yourself and you're happy with the salary. But if an HR person knows, it's like, okay, the highest I can go is $90,000 for this role. I don't know that. I'm thinking I need $50,000 to live off of, right? So I'm like, okay, well, $60,000, right? Like, okay, yeah. You know, my last job paid me $50,000. I need $50,000. Can you pay me $60,000? Right? And to me, that's a jump. But I'm like, okay, wouldn't equity really be the HR saying, hey, like the max budget is $90,000. You know, like, are we going to be honest enough to talk about equity in that sense? And I think, once again, whether it's corporate or these brand deals, I don't think people are speaking up to say, hey, we actually have this amount of money available. I'm going to give it to you. Right. And even if it's not the 90,000, I can say like, okay, well, I'm going to give you 82,000, and that gives you a chance to grow into promotions or raises over the next 3 years. Like, I've had a company do that, and I was like, okay, cool. I understand that completely. And even with that, that's still a $22,000 increase than what I told myself.
Right. Right. That's a big difference. Like, that ain't no chump change when you out here working a 9-to-5.
And I think, you know, once again, companies, be it corporate, be it brand deals, need to speak up and kind of, you know, guide Black people and, you know, all of these other communities of colors to be like, hey, this is yours. Ask for it.
I think it's going to take two things to make that a reality. And one is going to be these agents / brokers. Mm. And they're going to have to come from, I guess, the white side. I'm not going to say they necessarily have to be Black, but they're probably going to have to come from the white side and say, this person has similar analytics to this person, and I can get the same amount of money. And the Black person should look at that white person and say, oh, so you can get me more money. You just need a piece, and be absolutely okay with this white person getting the check. You know, everybody cannot be LeBron James and have Rich Paul and Maverick Carter and get a deal at Nike so they can be interns and turn your cousin them into an unstoppable marketing team. It's not for everyone. It's just not.
Man. Yeah.
So we're going to have to be okay doing business with white people and making sure that it is about the money. Like, there's, you can love me all you want. You can love my videos. You can love my dancing and everything. But if this is about the money, let's make this about the money and let's do business and be okay with it. Now, if some of these agents want to take it a step further, this is the second part, and start training up Black agents or Black people to start doing some of these jobs, even on their behalf, like, who knows? Like, there could actually be a gold mine of it if somebody would just invest in developing people to handle some of this stuff, because who knows, we might actually know a little bit more about who we need to get connected with. You know what I'm saying? It might be Rap Snacks, you know, it might be Little Light Kids. Yeah. It might be Talij Waji, you know, it could be any little small brands. But if you don't have the people or the infrastructure, then I don't really see things changing anytime soon.
Yeah, no, I completely agree, because it's about having access to people and those people being in the right position to guide you.
Right. So, yeah, that would be my hope, that in the future that we would get a lot more collaboration on the business side and just not collaboration on the TikToks.
Trying to be popular.
Right. So
You want to be popular, you want to be paid.
Right.
What you want to do?
You know, there's not an equal thing that followers equal dollars. There's an approximation, but it's not equal. So
right.
Talking money, we're talking more bucks.
Hey.
All day. But all right. So let's take a little break. And then when we come back, I'm going to clear out a little bit. And we're going to talk about building an audience so you can sell it. And welcome back to Marketing for the Culture. I am CL Palmer, aka CL Pod Gang, back again with Michelle Gomez, here to bring you some of the best news and information when it comes to marketing, brought to you by the mighty, mighty African American Marketing Association. I was thinking if I could do a chant, but I couldn't fit it in that flow. But I would love to have one of those, just like a fraternity. And then this is like one of them things. I'm a. Ooh, woo. Some gotta have a little noise too, right at the end. Just like all the frats.
That's that Founders Week energy.
Right. All day, man. Y'all have to excuse me. I'm silly as hell. I ain't gonna lie to you. Sometimes I do a show for myself, and then sometimes I do it for other people. It just depends on what mood I'm in today. But we just had a good talk. We talked about the TikTokers not getting their fair share in these brand deals because that Forbes list wasn't right, because it didn't have any color, no blacks, no Latinos, no Asians. I didn't hear about any of that because I felt like they would have pointed that out. But I'm a little disappointed. But fear not, because in the words of one great, I'm about to say Joe Polish, Joe Polizzi, do not build your house on rented land. So even though TikTok is great for growing your audience, you need to build your audience on a platform that you can control, which is why it's great to have a website and it's great to have an email newsletter and a podcast, because no algorithm can control any of that. That is all work-based results. And I want to talk to everyone about how to build an audience and getting ready for it to be sold. Because right now, at least in America, the hottest thing that's going off the shelves are media companies. I don't know if anybody's been paying attention, but media companies have been getting sold left and right. So I don't know, Michelle, I'm about to go in. I'm about to change modes and go in the straight broadcaster and do me a little monologue. I don't have a title for it, but we just gonna call this, I don't know, Learn Something with CL. And then we will figure out the name later. But I really wanted to talk about why I think it's a good idea for you to build an audience and be ready to sell it. And I was going to do this by myself, but Michelle, you were gracious enough to have some time due to some circumstances. So I appreciate you being here. But I thought that this message was important enough that I might go ahead and deliver it. So before I get into the meat and potatoes of it, let's just kind of talk about buying a house.
Okay.
So, you know, you have two options. You can buy a house or you can build a house. Everyone is very, very matter of fact thing in America. You can get you some land, build your house from scratch, or you can buy a prefabricated home in a nice neighborhood, maybe even a cul-de-sac, depending on where you live. I know that's not everywhere, but that's one of those things down here, down south, is you live in the cul-de-sac. Yeah, it comes up a lot. But point being, when you build a house, you get the glory of picking the materials, the design. You get to make a house everything that you ever wanted it to be. And then you get to watch it come together, foundation up, and you get to see every last detail. Now, anybody who's built a house knows it's very expensive and it takes a lot of time. And you have to remember all the things that go into building a house besides building the house. You have to get permits. You need cooperation from your electric company, your gas company, even the cable company, because how could you live without that fast internet? And good luck trying to get them to show up when they're supposed to. And this goes doubly for the contractors and the crew. Then you got to remember right now, we're experiencing some of the worst supply chain shortages ever due to the pandemic. So materials aren't even getting to where they need to be on time. And God forbid someone drops your countertop and cracks it. That might be another 6 weeks before your kitchen is complete. And then don't forget, you know, you got to get your address right just so your Amazon packages can show up. Like, that is a lot to incur when you're talking about building a house. Now, the alternative, you could just buy a house. I mean, you could buy a house and be moved in tomorrow if you wanted to. You can call your utility companies and you're connected within 2 days. And if you call early enough in the day, you probably can get them to come out the same day. The address is already in your GPS. So Siri's going to take you to the front door. Nothing extra needed to do right there. All you have to do when you get ready to buy a house is pick it based on your preferences, maybe your commute to the office, and then a few other things that you might find important. You know, you have to make sure that your kitchen is big enough for the cook of the family. You got enough bedroom for the kids. Maybe you have in-laws that stay with you or come visit a lot. You might have a parent that can't do stairs, so they might need to have a ground level bedroom. You pick all of those things out when you pick your home. And then, of course, once you buy the home, I mean, you could gut that thing out. You could change everything around if you wanted to, because it's your house. And you can still live in it and enjoy it while it's being changed. And the buy and remodel is the most popular trend right now for every big industry and media brand. Because after 100 years of just doing advertising and sponsors and some content marketing, companies have gotten smart and they figured out that if they had their own audience, it would be much easier and cost effective to sell them products and maintain their loyalty instead of, you know, trying to build an audience from scratch and, you know, starting a content marketing initiative from scratch. Who wants to do that? How many people do you have to bring on board? How many hires? How many studio days do you need to set up to make all of this content? But now, instead of building an audience from scratch, they're starting to buy websites, podcasts, newsletters, events, publications, and even full-on production companies. Why? They don't want to build. It's too much trouble trying to figure it out. Their business has been perfected. They have the cash to burn. And why keep burning it on advertising when I could just buy an audience, bring them into my ecosphere, and sell them everything that I have? You know, they say it costs more to obtain a new customer than it does to keep an old one. And that's absolutely true. And businesses are basically betting with their pocketbooks, checkbooks, whatever books they using in those big corporations. I don't have any of those things. And I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you might not either, but it sounded good. But in the last month, the New York Times, you know, I know some of you heard of them, you know, they're that newspaper company. They always telling people about the books. They just bought The Athletic, which is a sports news site, for $550 million. Now, if you're not a big sports fan, you may have never heard of The Athletic, but it's basically a sports writer and department for every team in America. In almost every sport around the world, they have some regional people, but everybody is covered under The Athletic. Do we think that the New York Times thinks that this is a way to make a lot of money? Because The Athletic is really just subscription based. That's all they do. So are they going to be making a lot of money? Do they need the writers? They have their own sports writers. So why would they spend $550 million on The Athletic? It's an audience. They have people who have been proven that they will spend their disposable income to read. So it's a perfect fit when you think about bringing those people into the New York Times ecosphere. Now I can sell you a bundle. I can get you with these events. I can get you with merchandise. You get with these crosswords because they have profiled and looked at the data, looked at the people who subscribe to either or, and they figured out, put the recipe on it, rinse and repeat. And that's where they're at. And so now you look at the landscape. The Hustle was recently acquired by HubSpot. The Hustle is a business and tech news site. HubSpot is marketing automation. Why would they need to start a business and news site when they could just buy one? So if you want to make some real money in the future, you should start building an audience. Even if it's not the audience that you need, if you have the resources, you could be building an audience and get ready to sell it to anybody in Silicon Valley or to another media company. There are so many opportunities for you to take what you do best, apply your formula, and get people to start coming around you. Because if you did it once, you could do it again. And if you need to hand the control off to somebody, that's just fine. Because if you're thinking about the long play, it's always going to be worth it. Now, I'm going to take a little breather real quick. But Michelle, what do you think about what I just said about basically taking your ability to build an audience and make it the goal to selling that audience or access to that audience to a bigger company?
First of all, shout out to you. I love everything you just said.
Thank you.
I think your ending is phenomenal because it is the most important thing is the vision and the long-term play, right? Because I remember when I started building my first blog on WordPress in 2005, 2006, I would have never thought about where we are today.
Right. It's a lot.
Like,
I was out there in the weeds with you. I know exactly how you feeling right
like
now.
You're thinking, I mean, at that time, you're thinking brick and mortar businesses are buying other brick and mortar businesses. Like, you're not even thinking about merger and acquisitions between online platforms or SaaS products or, like you said, audiences, content, media. So it's inspiring. I'm going through some personal things. Nothing bad. It's just, you know, decisions to make. But listening to you, I was like, Michelle, you have something here if you want to work it. It's just a matter of time. And time meaning what's the long-term vision behind it? and being patient enough to execute. HubSpot, very surprised on their moves, their success. We kind of talked about this earlier, Intuit and MailChimp.
Yes. Yes.
I was surprised when I heard that news a couple of months ago, but then listening to a podcast and getting the email from the MailChimp founder, Ben Chestnut or something, I was like, oh, this makes sense.
Right. Everybody who's using this platform is probably a small business owner in some point, and they're going to need QuickBooks and they're going to need to file taxes. Let me get everyone right there and put them right here in my ecosystem.
And I'm pretty sure, I wouldn't be surprised if there was already a 30 to 45% overlap.
Right. You know? They looked at them databases, they seen them emails, and they seen like they're using all of these products already. Like,
right. So I think, you know, God, you said something. I forgot what you said, but it was something like, you know, why create something new? So anytime you have a proper merger and acquisition, instead of starting a revenue stream from scratch, you're able to integrate possibly this new revenue stream, you know, based off of the company that you're buying or that was just bought. So, I mean, so many nuggets, I think it's so many things to consider as a content creator. So much leverage.
Yes.
There's so much leverage you can have. I'm going to say 5 to 10 years from now.
Mm. I mean, it's out here. And as soon as you said leverage, it made me think about how Netflix used to be when they used to have all the Disney movies and they had all the 30 for 30 ESPN documentaries. Everything was on Netflix. And I mean, the other production companies were just giving it to them. And it just made a loyal audience. And I do not think they knew exactly what they were doing. They couldn't have.
But and then think about how long did it take Disney to remove their catalog?
It did take them a while. It did. They were still showing Black Panther on Netflix for a minute.
Like Disney should have created Netflix, right? Well, let me back up.
Should have bought it.
No, because I remember using Netflix, mailing envelopes, and so let me go back. But Disney should have created an app to stream their content earlier than when they did. That's what I meant to say, right? Another thing I learned last week, I forgot what I was listening to. I'm not really a movie person, but Will Smith did the movie Bright, which was on Netflix. And it was said that the concept of the movie, you know, they shopped it around and Netflix gave him the best deal. And they were like completely surprised that Netflix offered them the best deal. But why was Netflix able to do that? They have reoccurring revenue. They can, because I'm paying them $10 to $15 every month and 20 million other people are, they know how much money they're going to make, not just next month, but 2 years, 3, 4, 5 years from now. And that's even if they take 10% off of the people that may drop. They already know how much money they're going to make. So they're able to give the bag to someone that Sony and these other studios can't give because they don't know how much they're going to make because they're waiting on the next release.
Right. And don't get me started in these streaming numbers, but the one thing that Netflix did have as far as being able to game what their audience was doing, which is basically just keeping all the information to themselves.
True.
And so they're basically saying, we're going to buy this because it's something that will get people in the door and hopefully it'll help keep them loyal going forward. And that's their big bet. Have it in the library, bring on new people, and just maintaining that relationship. And every couple months when you feel like, man, I'm tired of Netflix, I'm going to drop another one. And then there's a Dave Chappelle special, or there's another Will Smith movie, or there's another season of Stranger Things. Right when you was ready to cancel it, they know.
Ozark comes out.
Ozark season 4. We on deck. You know what I'm saying? Let's get wet in the river.
And I mean, and I say that because, I mean, yeah, we're talking about movies, but movies content, right?
Right. It's so all content.
There's some indie creator out there that, you know, you're just creating, you know, whatever on TikTok, you know, 30, 60 seconds. But I'm just saying, you keep doing that, you could be selling your stuff on Netflix.
Right.
Or Kev on Stage, or, you know, some other type of streaming app. But like, the possibilities are endless. You just have to build that community.
Right. And it's sometimes even hard to categorize someone like Netflix, because they're like a technology company, mm-hmm. but then they're also a production company, and they're a media company.
A content and team.
If you got a podcast that is real thorough about movies, yeah, Netflix does have their own podcast, and they do have stuff that works for them. But if yours is really good at breaking down Netflix movies, they're going to buy your podcast.
Yeah.
So just be ready. And like you said, if you're an independent filmmaker and you're hitting it on YouTube, at a film festival, wherever you hit, they're probably going to come to you, and they might want everything. You know, they might want your audience that you built for, you know, your blog, your vlog, whatever, and this movie. You don't know. But if you don't plan an exit strategy for your business, for your media company, because this is what everybody is doing. This is business plan 101. You know, you start with the beginning, but you got to know, how much money is it going to take for you to get out? Because you might not want to sell at a certain price, but if it ever gets to this price, I'm out. You know, and that's, and I think more people, especially us creators, we need to go ahead and build that into the business plan. But I mean, who has time to do that though? Who really has time to make a business plan about some TikTok videos and podcasts? I mean, it's not like we're trying to make money off of it. Come on.
You got to have a business plan, a vision plan. And I think lots of times we hear that and we're thinking some 30-page document. No, it can be one page, five pages. You can grow into it. As your business grows, you know, things will become more complicated, which require more detail. But, I mean, you got me thinking, like, what's the end goal for Line 25 Consulting?
Hey, look, I'm gonna be 100% honest with you. One of the reasons why I thought about talking about this is because it's what I'm working on.
Yeah.
Because I have a few different brands that I'm managing, and I'm basically about to network everything. Shout out Podcast Network. And we're about to take steps, and I'm thinking about going to investors about maybe turning this into a full-fledged studio, mm-hmm. maybe going to get a space and even start renting it out to other creators.
Yeah.
And when I got to that point, I was like, yo, how big would this need to get before I sold it to Spotify? Because I'm going to have a full-on production company. I'm going to be talking about podcasting, and it could be a year from now, and Spotify's like, yo, we love what you got. Buzzsprout might be like, we love what you got. We want to just buy the whole thing. Bring it here.
It's everything everywhere. I mean, apps, right? Apps, podcasts, movies. What kind of content are you creating? Someone is going to buy it eventually, right? It's amazing. What a time to be alive.
Absolutely.
What a time. But you have to build it. Like, I was, I got to submit a proposal for a possible client. Nonprofits like working with me for some reason. And I was going over their financials. And I was like, they got 300 million last year. I'm like, how can Alma get 300 million? Right? I'm
like, 100 of them things.
Like, Alma's about to be a media. They're like, the nonprofit. I'm gonna need a studio. I'm gonna need to shell out some content.
Yes.
Right. You know, because we need attention, and then we need donations. So yeah. I don't want people to, oh, it's not my industry or it doesn't apply to me. Like, content is everywhere. Everything. And that's what people need and want right now.
Right. And I'm gonna just make a quick example, since you just said that, and then we're gonna wrap up the show. So maybe you don't have an agency, or you are listening to this right now and I don't know, you do lashes or you sell hair or you cut hair or whatever it is. All of this applies to you. So I'm going to use, let me use cooking as an example. So if you love to cook, you out there making TikTok videos, you be whipping up that thing, you know, season it up. You trying to show everybody how to get on game, how to cook their food good. And, you know, of course, the recipe book, you know, that's an easy pivot. We know about that. But what does the blog do? Are you helping people getting good cooking utensils? Are you helping people find better groceries or source better ingredients? Now, once you start helping people and you start building an ecosystem, of course, people will love it because you are bringing value. And you just love to cook. But if you just took it a couple steps further, now we're turning you into a media brand, and if Tasty comes along, Food Network, mm-hmm. It's like, mm-hmm. We like what you're doing. Let me get that. And all of a sudden, you got a check and you got a job and you're loving your life as a cook. Right. And all right. You're doing it, and you just made a media company. It's the same thing across the board for everybody. So don't think that what you do is not something that's worthy of being bought because They want it. I mean, I went to the extreme. I went other, food companies, but or like food media brands. But man, it might be Lori Seasoning Salt. They might want your podcast.
Like,
they might want you to be like, I'm salty, and that be the podcast and be the host.
I mean, there's so much we can go into when it comes to personal brand. But when I was listening to you, I'm thinking about Tabitha Brown. Right? She was driving Uber, stopped at Whole Foods to pick up a sandwich, ended up getting a sponsor deal with Whole Foods. Fast forward, now she came out with her own seasoning, and now she got her own vegan restaurant.
Be ready.
Content, personal brand.
Like Chris Ward Jr. said, you have to be intentional about what what makes you likable.
Yeah.
And being intentional about everything across the board, I'll just expand that a little bit more, is going to pay dividends at the end. And I'm betting on it because I'm seeing some of the results now, but I cannot wait to see what this looks like on the other side.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is good. Okay. Bye, y'all. We got work to do.
Absolutely. So it was great hanging with y'all. I'm glad y'all made it all the way to the end of the podcast. Anything you need to let the people know about, or you just want to tell them where to find you, Michelle, and then we're going to get up out of here.
Yeah. You know, Instagram, first and last name, Michelle Gomez. Of course, follow Alma Houston, AAMA Houston. And make sure you're on our newsletter as well as social media. Once again, we're rolling out a lot of stuff. We have an event Wednesday, February 2nd, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Black Marketers List, March event, more to come. Stay tuned, stay locked in. Thank you.
All right. And also, next week, Michelle and I will be on Podcasters Live with my homie Steve Worthy, and we're going to be talking about that Black Podcast Report and just how AMA is helping content creators. So y'all be on the lookout for that. That is January 26th. I want to say the show starts at 7, but I'm not sure. They've been doing some different things, but they usually run about 2 hours, so I think he got us booked for the second hour. But regardless, 8 o'clock Eastern time, we'll be there. So y'all look for that. We're going to share out the link, probably do a little bit of promo on all the platforms. So y'all look out for that. Y'all follow AMA. Follow me, SEL Pod Gang, on every single platform. I thank you for listening. I hope I was able to bring you some value by putting this together. Michelle, thank you for your time. And we out here. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Marketing for the Culture podcast. If you haven't already, please subscribe, whether it's on Apple, Google, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform. And of course, our videos are on YouTube. If you have a moment, feel free to give us a rate, review, or just comment. We appreciate our sponsors for their continuous support. Also, if you're interested in learning more about our sponsors or becoming a member of the African American Marketing Association, visit aa-ma.org.